Hello, I'm Paul.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Ben.
And welcome to the Film Busters podcast. The film show with no filters, no prisoners taken, loads of disagreements, but one hell of a love for cinema.
If you want to hear three friends ridiculing each other for an hour or so regarding their taste in films, then you have come to the right place.
In each episode, one of the team picks a film for us to discuss. It could be anything from a recent cinema release to an all-time classic.
So, strap in and get ready to get mad or get vindicated as we guide you through the murky world of being a film geek.
If you like what you hear, you can also find us on Twitter and Instagram using @FilmBustersPod. You can also find each of our individual accounts. I'm at FilmBustersPaul.
I'm at FilmBustersAdam.
And I'm at FilmBustersBen.
If you want to use your eyes instead of your ears, you can also visit the website at filmbusterspod.co.uk.
And if busting makes you feel good, you can also support us at patreon.com/filmbusters for exclusive content.
Or shoot over and get some groovy merchandise at society6.com/filmbusters.
All right, can we just get on with this now, please?
Filmbusters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Filmbusters. Today, we have a very special guest. That is Scott. How are you, Scott?
Hello, I'm all good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you, Adam?
I'm all good. Back doing this shit.
We got Scott here again to fill in for Ben, who's still away on holiday. He's having a very lovely time, I'm sure, in Scotland.
Yeah, but he's rejected us always. He's just forgotten about us.
He had some haggis.
Gross.
Yeah, I did have some haggis.
Yeah.
Have you ever had haggis before?
I've never. Yeah, I don't. It doesn't appeal to me.
I used to have haggis quite a lot.
You're an animal, mate. Today, we are doing our first cinema film for a while. When was our last one, Adam?
Probably Sonic or Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was that long ago.
Before all this shit.
Yeah. This is basically us coming back to the world, pretty much.
It is. Did you both go to the cinema to watch it?
Yes.
I actually watched it on HBO Max, so I didn't even go to the cinema.
Naughty boy.
That's terrible.
I'm paying my money towards Warner Brothers, and they're creating the content I want to see, so what can I see?
Yeah, but you're in a different country.
I know, but I'm paying the Americans who make this film anyway.
Hmm. If you're going to pirate any film, though, it should be this film.
I'm not as Captain Jack Sparrow. Anyway, today we are doing The Suicide Squad from 2021 by James Gunn. Are you excited?
I am buzzing.
He is buzzing. Like a bee.
I've been trying to get some kind of reaction out of Paul all fucking day, and I haven't got anything.
No, so. I will not give anything. I'm keeping very quiet about it. But because Ben is not here, we're skipping over our usual segment, which is the quiz. And we will do some mega quiz down the line when he's back. But that just leads us on to, let's just mention what we're going to do after this episode, which is the Patreon episode. If
yes.
You guys want to subscribe to our Patreon, you can go to www.patreon.com/filmbusters. And today we're doing a very special episode where we're doing a villain face-off.
Yeah,
ready for it.
Yes.
Ready.
This is we're basically creating our own film villain suicide squad, and we're basically gonna fight off against each other and see who's got the best villains in their roster.
Me.
Well, you'd think that, wouldn't you, Adam? You big head.
Don't tune in, guys. We've already sorted this out.
I think I already know what one of yours is.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Go on,
I kind of
no, I'm not saying
thing.
It now. No.
No, say it. I won't react to it.
9. That is not a clue. That's just me saying 9 as a German.
What, Hitler?
No.
Oh, that. Oh, you could do Hitler from Jojo Rabbit.
You could do Hitler from Downfall.
Not that menace, though, is
but
he?
Yeah, he's not really that good at fighting. But anyway,
Downfall.
Anyway, you can go and see that episode at www.patreon.com/filmbusters and join the likes of Jamie Russell.
Yes, 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 you can. And you have Katie and OT from For Your Reference.
You also have Julio from The Contrarians.
And last but not least, there is Nerd Revert.
Yes, indeed. Both of them are from Texas.
Yes, as we like to mention every time.
But I guess that just, without further ado, I think that just leads us on nicely to the actual feature of
recording.
This episode. And
yeah.
That is The Suicide Squad.
Yo, is this a dog?
What?
Is this thing a dog?
A dog?
Yes.
What kind of dog do you think it is, mate?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with all the breeds. I'm going to go with Afghan Hound.
Since when does an Afghan Hound have bloody thumbs?
Oh, my God. Is it a werewolf? I've wanted to meet a werewolf forever.
Yo, they turned me into a werewolf?
That's not right.
Yo, let me out! I'm not a werewolf!
He's not a werewolf, okay? He's a weasel. He's harmless. I mean, he's not harmless. He's killed 27 children. But, you know, we got him to... I think he's agreed to do this. Whatever the case, just everyone get in a position to drop.
Right, everyone. Today we're talking about The Suicide Squad from 2021 by James Gunn. This is a spoiler episode. We'll go straight into spoilers, no hanging around. So if you haven't seen it... we will ruin it completely for you.
Completely.
Yes.
So you might want to go check out first. Otherwise, just listen and be spoiled. We don't really mind what you do. But first, okay. Adam, would you like to do a beautiful plot summary of Suicide Squad?
Yes. This is another staple of every episode, as I've pointed out to Paul. He refused to call it that, but I'm calling it the staple of every episode now because we don't have the
good
quiz
lad
at the moment. Anyway, this film is... basically forget and ignore what happened about 5 years ago. We kind of start again with a new Suicide Squad in some ways. There's some returning characters, there's some new characters, and they're sent off to an island in South America somewhere, and they got to fight communism and a big starfish.
That is pretty much what bang happens.
On. Absolute bang on.
You actually got a very good plot summary there, Adam.
Yes. Was it 5 years ago it came out?
It came out like in 2016, yeah.
Because apparently they both came out on the same day.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, I don't know that. Oh, little fact there, Adam. Love it.
Done. Did your research, mate. Speaking of research, I'm going to head this episode by giving a little background on this film. This is based on a DC comic by the same name. Suicide Squad is an anti-hero team consisting of many different characters throughout history, but crucially, they are always expendable. A version of the team was first introduced in the Brave and the Bold comic in 1959 and in many incarnations since, including their own self-titled comic books all the way up to the modern version, which includes the characters Enchantress, Katana, Killer Croc, Captain Boomerang, Deadshot and Harley Quinn. This may sound familiar because that is the exact team that were presented in the 2016 film Suicide Squad, which was the third film in the DC Extended Universe by David Ayer, which was met with a lukewarm reception. I of which
lukewarm.
I'm actually a fan of it, yet I do know it has its flaws. This is also where we first met Harley Quinn, who has become almost the linchpin of this fragment of the DCEU, who went on to appear in Birds of Prey, and then in 2021, The Suicide Squad, which we're talking about today.
Yes.
That was a nice little background,
that was fantastic.
Wasn't it?
Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. So, I think, can I just choose the order of this?
Of course.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to go first. And then okay. We'll do Scott, then Adam.
Oh, thank God I'm not last.
Yes.
Is that the same order we did last week for Power Rangers?
I don't think so.
I was last.
Oh, okay. Right, so, everyone knows I love a bit of DC, and there's nothing much else to say about that, but when it comes to this film, I know James Gunn likes to cast outcasts all the time, so I wasn't familiar with pretty much a lot of the cast in this, so apart from, like, Harley Quinn, obviously Rick Flagg from the last film, King Shark, I know him. I know a bit of The Thinker. I did know the other characters. I have reference of them, but I haven't really read much comic books about them. But I did read the Suicide Squad comic book, and that pretty much had just the characters from the 2016 version of the film. But because of that, obviously I have no reference for these characters, so I wasn't really knowing what to expect. And, you know, that could be seen as kind of a setback because... I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. But anyway, this is definitely better than the first Suicide Squad film. I can say that. And this is... I'm still trying to decide whether this is better or worse than Birds of Prey, because I had a very good time with this film. I very much love this film. And I think James Gunn casting the outcast characters, he does it so well because he can take these characters that you know nothing about, and that's the beauty of it, because you come into it thinking, what are these stupid powers or these stupid characters? What are they even doing? What is this polka dot man? Why am I going to think this is a good character to have in a film? And then by the end of the film, you're like, I absolutely love these characters. You fall in love with them. You don't want them to die because it's like you love them as characters. That he builds them up so well. He built up a weasel so well that I felt so bad when it was drowning in that ocean.
Even though he killed, like,
even
loads
though
of
he
kids.
Killed loads of children, I still felt like, oh, I don't want him to die. But anyway,
you only met him for like 3 seconds.
I know.
He was funny though.
But this film is so hectic. It's absolutely crazy. The action in this film is so well choreographed. It's actually like so unexpected, the stuff that happens in this film. And this is what you want from a comic book film. Just this absolute fun, violence. You're not going to get this in a Marvel film. Just wacky fun. And I loved every minute of it. It's not perfect, but it's a 9 out of 10 for me.
Oh, wow.
It's a 9 out Jesus. Of 10.
I saw that coming. I thought that would, that's what it would be before I even watched the film.
Go on then, Scott. It's your turn.
Okay, so I wasn't a fan of the 2016 version. I gave it a 3 out of 10.
Wow.
It was shocking. It was like it was terrible. So a little bit apprehensive when I found out this was being done. Then it got into the hands of James Gunn and I was like, take my money now. That's fine. And I had so much fun. Like it's the most fun I've had in the cinema for a very long time. And I have been to cinema quite often since they reopened, but it was just fun. Same as you, Paul, the characters that I've never even heard of or never read about. I thought Polka Dot Man was great. I was so excited about King Shark because after seeing him immortalized on Harley Quinn, the TV animation series, I was so excited. And I think just it was simple. The character was so simple. Sylvester Stallone did a great job. And I was so happy with the level of gore. Like when he ate people, he actually ate them.
It was, and then
he tore that guy in half, it was just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And it's a 9 out of 10 for me as well.
Whee! Double nine.
Wow.
Adam, my love.
Let's go. So, I mean, unlike you two, I don't really care about the characters because I didn't really know any of them beforehand.
That's
so
fine.
It's not really, not care about them. That's probably the bad way of saying that. But I didn't know any of the characters, probably regardless going in, probably apart from like Harley Quinn and the Joker. That's probably the only two from Suicide Squad that I'd actually know. So it doesn't really make a difference to me who was involved with it. I'm very happy to see a shark involved because it was cool as shit.
Brilliant.
And like Scott said, when he ripped the guy in half, that was pretty cool. But there was a lot of parts of the film that just left me feeling... But then there was really good...
What was that noise?
What? What is that noise you're making?
What?
Just are you having are you having a stroke? What is going on?
Yeah, it's a bit like saying meh, but I'm just trying to do it in a different
way. You're using the TH.
I'm just putting my tongue in my mouth and making noises.
What are you doing? Carry on.
Anyway, you're distracting from my elegantly written point here. Yeah, there was really good parts of this film, and I enjoyed it a lot more than I enjoyed the original, the first one. But when I left the cinema, I was like, "This isn't an 8, though, is it?" And it's still not sticking with an 8. Maybe on a rewatch, I'll enjoy it more. But it was just, I don't know. It just felt like you watch it, that was funny, that was good, and then you just move on quite quickly with it. And that's how it felt to me. So it's a 7 out of 10.
Wow! Look at that. You're in your right to have your own opinion, mate. But to that. Let me ask you a question, Scott.
I was hoping you know that what that noise was straight away rather than me trying to explain it.
Do you think the fact that we've gone through COVID and we haven't really had... I know you've been to the cinema. Mm-hmm. We haven't really had a massive cinema experience like this. Do you think that kind of helped this film in some ways?
I guess it's got no competition really at the moment.
Especially with Marvel, I don't think it has competition.
All right, Fast and Furious was probably the only thing that people who go see this would also go see.
I enjoyed this more than Black Widow.
I agree.
And I saw that at the cinema.
Didn't you give Black Widow a 9 as well?
Low 9.
This is the high 9.
High 9.
I think that's the first Suicide Squad film. I think that... I mean, I like that film, but I do know it has problems, but...
There was too many hands in the basket. It was like, there was so many thoughts going into it from other areas like the production and
like studio interference.
Yeah. That I think once James Gunn gets the film, everyone leaves him alone and he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And he does make gold. He really does. Like he did, no one thought he could do Guardians of the Galaxy, what he did with that.
To be fair, I did watch one James Gunn film, make a superhero film, and it was awful.
What was that?
And it was a film called Super.
Did he do that?
It had the guy from The Office in it.
Oh, I didn't know he did that film.
Yeah, and it's a terrible film. It's like awfully bad.
I mean, it's not really spectacle, that film, is it? It's more like a...
No, it's like Kick-Ass kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't think I've seen that one.
It's on Amazon, I believe. That's where I watched it. But yeah, I wouldn't bother even hunting it out. No, I mean, you probably love it, Scott. But...
For fuck's sake.
let's just place this, right? So compared to Birds of Prey, we know it's better than the Suicide Squad film. Or Suicide Squad film. Is this film better than Birds of Prey? What did you give Birds of Prey, Adam?
It's probably on the same level for me. I probably felt the same way. I sat in the cinema, I enjoyed it. There were some good moments. But when I left, I ultimately had the same feeling.
Yeah. See, I'm in the same basket, but just a higher up basket. I give them both a 9, and I still haven't decided which one's better and where it's going to place in my overall rankings.
I just honestly feel like there's something to do with the film. I've just had enough of these films where you just like have to invest in all of this. It's just like,
but you don't have to invest in anything.
There's still a wider thing at play. And it's all building up to be like this little part of the puzzle and this and that and that. And it's just like,
I don't think so. Bothered. I don't agree. I think anyone can enjoy this film. They won't have to bring any.
Yeah, I mean, this one especially, you can just dip into it, watch it and have fun. But I don't know. I feel like the whole superhero thing is really done for me.
That's fine.
I gave Birds of Prey an 8.
Okay.
But I did enjoy this a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, so much more.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think it probably is the level of violence and stuff like that, which I think DC is all about. I think it's not
trying to play to children.
Yeah, this was good because it was more adult-y, wasn't it? They swore in it. Was it a 15?
I think so.
Should have been.
Easily a 15.
Yeah. And like the only one they really do that with is Deadpool, isn't it, in Marvel? So I did enjoy that aspect of it. It did feel more grown up. It did feel... less like that, but then it still had the same. It's like if you're going to do that, you might as well go the full hog and make a proper adult superhero. And it still just relies on the same cliches that every superhero film relies on.
How adult do you want it to be? Like, what else would you want that's adult?
I don't know. You can have some less cliche fucking hits in it.
Like,
well, like the whole at the end, you knew that the girl with the rat catcher was obviously going to do something to help him. Like, she doesn't really.
I didn't expect that though.
She's a small part of the group, obviously. The best bit of the film. This is massive spoilers, was the bit when they released the starfish and then John Cena's going mental.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, okay, now we're getting fun. Now we're doing something interesting. But then amidst all of that, you've got Idris Elba falling down 17 flights of a building.
That was funny.
That was great.
That was really funny.
What are you talking about? I think the best way to approach this film is, because I think this is a bring up scenes along the way, is to approach this character by character.
Yeah.
And just talk through them briefly and then to say what you liked about them. Let's just start off with Harlequin. I just want to say I appreciated that this wasn't the Harlequin show. Mm-hmm. This was they didn't rely on everything on Harlequin. Halfway through the film, I didn't even need Harlequin. When it kind of dropped for me it was a 10 out of 10 until it got to the Harlequin bit with the president when she started making out of him. Yeah, but that was good. But when it was leading up to the bit where she killed him, I was like, what is this?
Why is she doing this?
I'm sorry, I thought you meant the bit when she was in prison.
Oh, no, that bit was good, but I just wanted to go back to the core team.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need Harlequin right now.
But I needed that her escape.
Yes.
Was brilliant.
Yes.
And well choreographed, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Yes. And I absolutely loved, like... where you're suddenly blending into her kind of world, into her mindset, where she sees all these bright colours.
The flowers.
Yeah, and it's almost like this isn't her thinking she's killing people. It's almost like a good thing. Like, look, all these flowers.
She's spreading love. She's spreading love.
It's all like a happy time while she's killing people.
I mean, she's not in it for quite a lot of the film, really, to be honest.
No.
She's that. It's not screen time-wise. I don't think she's got too much until she joins everyone.
Mm-hmm. let's just, before we move on to any other characters, I think we need to just address the beginning segment, Team One.
Oh, poor Team One.
Absolutely fantastic. That just sets the bar. Like, this is the film.
It's a good setup.
Yeah. Anyone could die.
Yes. There's good moments in this film. I'm not denying that. I had fun joining it. And I wouldn't say it's anything to do with the film of why it didn't get an 8 or maybe a bit higher. Mm. It's just the way I felt at the end of the film. I was just like, okay.
That's fine. I mean, the first bit of violence, someone gets their face blown off. So.
I know. They did not hold back.
And he gets
back.
The thing cut in half.
Yes. They did not hold back at all.
The guy that detached his arms.
TDK.
Yeah. Just...
that was so funny.
Like, I was like, what the fuck is
and
this?
This is the funny thing, because that is the first team. Team One is your expectation of what you think the rest of the characters are like. You get this polka dot man. You get this rat catcher.
Advertisement for the group one.
Like, yes,
there was a lot of advertisements, so you would expect them to make it past the first 5 minutes.
That's all I kept thinking.
Yes,
the whole
where's
film.
The shark? But what I think is, so you come into this film, so showing the team one, showing how useless they are, these group of outcasts, these villains you've never heard of. It just shows you, look, these people are useless. How is this film going to progress? How are they going to complete the mission when these people can't even do anything? They can't even get past the first hurdle as soon as they get to the island. And I think that really adds an element of how the fuck are these weirdos going to actually save
gonna
the day?
Win. Yeah.
And, mate, Weasel.
Weasel.
It was quite. I was very happy he died, though.
Why did you think he killed
just
children?
He was just getting on my nerves straight away.
What? He's only in it for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, but I was just like, oh my god, I cannot deal with a whole film.
But he's not
them
dead.
Just
though.
Trying to make him funny.
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
Well, yeah, whatever. But I'm glad he was dead for the film.
Right.
Yes.
Like the whole film of them just relying every second just to go to him for something comic. It's like, yeah, it was just an irritating character.
I mean, it didn't happen that often.
Yes, it was only for about a couple of minutes, Adam. But
in those couple of minutes, they did it quite a few times. And that's why I was quite glad when he died. I was like, okay, now we're not going to have a whole film with this.
Well, that's fine. I'm sorry he upset you so much. I just enjoyed his erratic eye rolls in the back of his head and his jittering like he had some kind of rabies or something.
I mean, I think he was meant to have rabies, wasn't he?
Yes.
Rabid, didn't he?
And then I was so sad when we... lost RIP to Captain Boomerang. I mean,
shit, yeah, fuck, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's like he was one I expected to be in the film the whole way. He is a main Suicide Squad character.
This is I remember when I first saw the promo and it listed every single character. I was like, what the fuck, how are you gonna have a film with all these people in? Half of them you don't even know their story.
Yes.
And then they just kill half of them in the first 5 minutes, so.
And that also sets the bar for like, look, we just killed off a main character from the last film first 10 minutes. It's like, this is how this film's going to go. But yes, TDK, he was good. I enjoyed him. A little bit silly. Nathan Fillion, gotta love him.
Yeah.
Just going for it.
Brilliant.
But then let's go back to the main cast now. They've all been killed off. What do you think of Idris Elba, Bloodsport?
Brilliant. Really funny. I was not expecting him to be that funny.
I just thought, this is just Idris Elba.
That's true. That is very true.
Mm.
I actually quite enjoyed Idris Elba in this film. He's annoyed me quite a lot recently.
Like, I don't think he was enjoyable, but I don't think he, like, I think the other characters bring some
character.
Kind of excitement and, oh my god, they're going to do something in a minute with their powers or something, where Bloodsport was just like, he's just here. He kind of was, he almost was like played like one of the, like the main character, wasn't he? But yeah, he was fine.
And he's played like the kind of like token straight man, like,
yeah. And
no one, fun, no frills.
One thing I did enjoy, but also was a little bit like, really, was he was almost like just the replacement for Will Smith's Deadshot, where it was literally the same thing. He has this daughter who basically,
what was that story?
Amanda like? Waller, like, was trying to extort with him, and it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. But what I did like is that when he's sitting in the prison cell, and then it just, this is the tone. And then it's literally the swearing and everything is like, okay, this is something else. This isn't Will Smith.
I completely forgot about her, to be honest. So I think it was just to get him into the team, I think, wasn't it?
Yes.
So
yeah, they didn't rely on it.
I could have done without that.
They didn't rely on it.
They've relied on it a little bit in the first Suicide Squad, but not too heavily in this one.
Less said about that, the better, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Should we move on to John Cena, Peacemaker?
Holy shit. In his pants.
Oh, yeah. I bet you love that.
I was
that.
Like, what the fuck? What? I was like, fucking hell.
That was funny when he came out in his pants. His God. Little tighty white.
Should have seen this on the big screen. My God.
Talking about Bloodsport and him, that was a great scene where they're trying to one-up each other. Yeah. And they end up killing off all the militia.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And he's going along stabbing that guy.
Oh, he's asleep.
Yes. It's so brutal. The brutality of it. But I thought he was a good character. I don't know if you know Adam, but they're making a TV show out of him.
Who, John Cena's character?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, surely that's a bit fucking fraught now after he turned out to be a twat.
One thing, I didn't expect it. Secondly, I kind of don't mind because they're all villains, right? Yeah. They're supposed to be twats anyway.
Yeah, but you thought, like, be a villain.
He's a peacemaker. He'll kill any man, woman and child until he gets
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I feel like now that you know he's turned on them, like, his character doesn't have the same effect. If you went and rewatched that film again now, you'd be like, okay, you'd be a bit off him from the beginning.
I kind of was off him from the beginning. I thought he was a bit of a stuck-up idiot.
There was some kind of hidden agenda.
You accept him for being a stuck-up idiot, but you don't accept him for being, like, killing your mates. The whole point of this film for me was them all coming together. And, like, no matter who you are, you're now involved with this squad, no matter how big or small. Like, all of that, like, a real state of, like, teamwork. Especially when it was done through Ratcatcher. Like, she was almost kind of the core keeping these guys together. And, like, he's gone completely against that. So it kind of just ruins his character for me.
I mean, he is a villain still.
Yeah. That's
yeah, but the whole thing was, I thought, like, villains are not being villains. They're working together.
You wanted to be an anti-hero. That's what you've come there for. Yeah. But that just gives him an arc for the TV show, I guess.
Also, don't know if it's before this film or after.
Yeah, it could be. Well, I think it's going to be after because the end credit scene was saying we have missions for him, he needs to save the world. So I'm guessing it's going to be after.
Okay.
I did think as soon as he died, oh, it's going to be a prequel.
Hmm.
But I'm guessing.
Yeah, when he was lying on the bed, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah. So I'm excited for that. I enjoyed him and I don't mind that he's bad. And it'll just give him, he can just redeem himself in the TV show.
Yeah. I didn't expect him to be as funny as he was either.
Yes, he was
I
very good.
I thought
he
was really funny. He's just like, good. No expression on his face, just yeah. pure.
Yeah, he brought the laughs.
Yeah, he did.
I was laughing a lot in this film, and that says something.
Me too.
Were you, Adam?
Yeah, I did laugh, yeah.
That's good. I saw Dan gave it a 9 out of 10 as well.
Yeah, he loved it.
That's good. That's very good. Let's move on to Rick Flag, RIP.
Take him or leave him, really.
I mean, I actually just saw an article today saying that he's under sexual assault charges.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Ooh, Joel Kinnaman or whatever.
Yeah, but alleged. Apparently, all I've read in the article is that he's got, what do you call it? So he's got a restraining order against someone who is alleging that they sexually assaulted him. I don't know why I bring this up, but I thought I'd just bring it into the podcast.
They sexually assaulted him?
No, he's sexually assaulted them, but they're bringing it up and he's saying it's not true, so he's just got a restraining order. But I don't know the ins and outs of that, but that's Joel Kinnaman for you. But as for Rick Flagg, I was sad. I was sad. I know he's not the biggest character. He doesn't have much to do in the film.
He doesn't, actually, no.
I know he was just pretty much exposition in the first film. But it was sad to see him go, still.
I mean, the way he went, fighting for what's right, was sad.
Yeah.
But I forgot after. Not going to lie.
He's just gone.
Bye, Joel.
It was the way he went, I was a bit like, you've been done. You've been done over.
You've been done over.
Yeah.
You know he's going to go.
You've been peacemakered.
He was having too much of the upper hand. You know he had to lose. He was winning.
Yeah.
These next two, these are the MVPs for me. We got King Shark or Nanawe
was the best character by a country mile.
Oh, that's good.
I have
hear.
Another I one
that's
that. Close to King Shark.
And Polka Dot Man.
And Polka Dot Man.
Yes,
I mean,
they're my two favourites.
King Shark was just fantastic. It was when he was the first, before any violence, he was sneaking behind the bush. I was laughing. I was the only one in the cinema laughing because I think I'm the only one that saw him. And it was so funny. It was just so funny.
I just loved seeing him. He was just like, randomly just walk off. It's just like when they're setting all the bombs off and he just walks down a random corridor and it's like, where are you going?
No, that bit when he was with the shark tank was beautiful, man.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a shame that those fish wanted to eat him.
You knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
They were too beautiful looking.
But him, like, Noah was the running best along, character running along, like, as they were, they were chasing him and stuff like that. It was just so funny.
It was just like a moment of like happiness and peace, and he's just like, and he just gets on with it as well. He's not complaining. He's just like, just doing his little thing, eating shit along the way.
The Noah,
tough as shit.
Num num
num num. This num num.
This num num.
No
no no.
This num num.
Yeah, he brought the best violence, and I. When it came to like the climax, Joe, you know, the building was falling.
Yeah,
and he fell off the building, and then
I thought, oh my god, if they kill him, I start crying.
It was a whole segment of, oh my god, he's gonna die. When those jellyfish got him, I was like, oh my god, he's dying. I was like, no, no, and then I was like, no, he's fine, he's fine. Then he just fell off the building. I was like, no, he's gonna die.
And then he got shot on him about 1,000 times.
And then shot, yes. And then I thought the building was gonna fall on him. And I was like, just please don't kill King Shark.
So I'm confused, but like, the bullets don't penetrate him, or you just
not. He's got hard skin.
Yeah,
that's like shark, bro. Killer Croc. He's got hard skin as well. He was like the Killer Croc replacement, but he was a lot better.
Yeah, cooler.
Yeah,
and he's paid by Sylvester Stallone.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah,
absolutely brilliant.
So he's your MVP, Adam. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
He was very beautiful.
I need to talk about Polka Dot Man. I really
Cobb, let me just say one more scene that I really liked from King Shark, when they were all in the club having fun and he's just sitting there nodding his head in the van, and I was like, oh, I feel so sad for him. He just wants to be human and be loved.
He wants to get involved.
Yeah. Fantastic. Come on then, Polka Dot Man, go for it, Scott.
I'm sorry, but each time you saw his mum, I've never laughed so loud in my life. I thought it was so funny.
It was well done.
Like, even just when the old group were looking at him, and even I didn't take me a few seconds to notice, but I didn't notice King Shark turned into his mum. Yes. With like a massive neck.
Yes.
And then
I was just thinking his mum was going to be someone like quite influential within the world. Like, you said she was like a mad scientist.
Oh, okay. You thought it was going to be someone who's been in the fields before or something.
Yeah, or like a distant like relation to, like, I don't know, something or other in the films.
I did think that for a second.
But even his backstory is quite sad, that he was experimented on to become a superhero.
Yeah.
And then I think his power's quite cool. I like it.
Yeah. I thought
the only thing is that let down Polka Dot Man for me is the actor, and I can't stop seeing him as the guy from The Dark Knight.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's the
guy who they arrest, doesn't they? At the fucking rally.
Yeah, he's the one that.
He's from Arkham.
And in my head, that's all I can see him as.
See,
and
I'm watching completely forgot about being that. Like,
oh, that's you. That's you.
I see him as the guy from Prisoners.
Of course he is.
He's the guy. I'm not going to spoil Prisoners. This is not spoiling.
Yeah,
Prisoners,
true.
But he's in Prisoners.
I'm actually
going to
rewatch that
film
soon. I've decided.
I mean, it's not the actor's fault. You remember?
No, it's not the actor's fault. It's just when you look at somebody, you're like, I can just see
you associate them.
And I don't trust you.
It's more like when you can't see past an actor, you can't see the character.
Yeah.
It's like if you like seeing Heath Ledger as the Joker, all you see is the Joker.
The thing is that Heath Ledger doesn't look like the Joker that much because he's got all the makeup on, so you can quite easily do that with him.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, I took a sec to try and understand what you were saying then, but yes, very true. When I laughed out loud when this happened, when he has all the lights on his face and he's like, it's a rash. Yeah. I was like, what is going on with this guy? This boy even knew what his powers were. And he's like, he has to let it out. It's a build up.
That's just so funny.
All right. Can we talk about one thing in this film?
Yes.
Talk about actors in this film.
Okay.
At what
okay.
point did you realise that it was Taika Waititi?
Oh, I knew he was in the film.
I knew he was in the film, but I was like, who the hell are you? Are you playing the weasel, for example? Or like something, I thought he was going to be playing something like that. And then at the end, when he sat...
No, yeah, it's when he sat on that tower thing, right? With his daughter.
At the very end, and he sat up, I was like, fuck off, you've been him the whole film.
Yeah, that's when I noticed as well.
I mean, there was only like, one other scene that he was him.
There was like two of them, I think, wasn't there?
There was a scene where you saw her as a little girl. and she has like a daydream on the bus, and then you see the end scene.
Flashback one at the end.
Yeah.
When she talk about him, and even in that, I did not realise it was him. It was only when he sat up on that tower, I was like, "Oh shit! Okay, now it's you. That's where you were.
That's where." The same as me, Adam. I didn't notice until then either.
I think I just had prior knowledge that he was in it, so I was just looking out for him. As soon as I saw him, I thought, "Yeah, that must be someone we know," and it was him. That was good. Is there anything else you want to say about Polka Dot Man?
Just that I knew he was going to die.
Oh, that was because sad. I noticed
only because of the shot.
Mean. Yes,
and I was like, that shot's too wide for just him just standing there. I was like, for fuck's sake.
He's like, I'm a superhero.
And then squash.
Oh, poor Polka Dot Man.
Poor Polka Dot Man.
I loved him. He was great. Fantastic.
He was fun.
And he was so powerful. He had the... would he be the most powerful?
Well, he's probably the only one that's got power, really.
Mm-hmm. Him and King Shark, I think, probably the most powerful.
Everyone else is just strong.
Yeah, yeah. I felt sorry for him. He was a good character.
I did laugh as well with his giant mum. I thought that was hilarious. Like, and she looked at the camera like, ah. Just so funny.
It's so funny because she looks so normal and average looking. She doesn't look like Hollywood mother. She looks like someone's mum. But next we have, let's move on to, seeing as you brought Taika Waititi up, let's talk about Ratcatcher. I did think, what is she actually going to do? And that's what Zoe said while she was watching it as well. It's like, what is this character going to do? What's she going to do with some rats? I think she was worth being in the film. She was good. She was a good member of the team.
I agree. I think she was the, like Adam said, the soul and the heart of the film. Really.
Yeah, heart, yeah. She brought a bit of heart.
And it's nice having a character like that you don't know.
Yes.
And also, it was a bit like, everyone you can see, they're all bastards, really, and she's just a bit unlucky.
Yeah. She also
her accent was really nice.
Oh, that's cute.
All right, Adam.
Adam's type. He bring his type up again. She also didn't really have a power. She just had a stick that summoned rats.
I thought what was going to happen with her is that someone was going to break her little stick, and then it would be like that whole... Is it during... Oh, I can't remember what it is. Is it one of the Marvel characters? I think it's Thor, isn't it? And he loses his hammer, and he's like, the power isn't the hammer, the power is you.
Oh, okay.
You just channel that. I thought all that bullshit was going to happen. It didn't actually happen.
It didn't. I did actually think that Bloodsport was going to use it in the end and be like, overcome his fear of rats to save the day.
He kind of did a bit, didn't he?
He kind of just laid there and let them run over him.
Literally.
Also, can I say, the best bit of that film was the bit with John Cena, and he's got obviously on the floor with a gun. You know, like, you obviously knew someone was going to come along and save her, but it's the way Idris Elba just drops in. He doesn't even ask a single question or anything. He's just like, nah, fuck you, bitch.
Yes.
You got a gun to her head. I trust them more than I trust you.
Yeah.
He said he'd protect her, so...
Yeah. And that was the thing that Peacemaker said at the beginning, that I can shoot smaller bullets and it'd go through the bullet holes. And I was like, well, you didn't shoot a small bullet then, did you?
Yeah.
Very good. Paying it forward.
Yeah, that was probably my second favourite bit of the film. The favourite bit of the film is when King Shark rips the guy in half, though.
What was the second favourite? What, the...
That bit, the bit with Bloodsport. And, yeah.
But you just didn't like it when he fell through the floor.
No, I was a bit like, that's a bit stupid. But when King Shark falls off the building, I was like, that's cool. And he survives because it's King Shark.
See, I at that point, with Idris falling, or Bloodsport falling, I thought, oh my God, they're actually going to kill off Idris.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no. And then it just fell again. I was like, oh, he's going to die. Oh no. So I kind of appreciated it.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny as well. Amanda Waller was just Amanda Waller. Although I did like that...
She's terrifying when she shouts, isn't she? Fucking
she is.
Hell, Christ.
She, the look in her eyes, she is a scary woman.
However, that woman hitting her around the head with a stick, A, that scared the shit out of me because I wasn't expecting it. Yeah. And B, I was like, go, girl, go, go.
And also, I was actually terrified for those employees because it's like, imagine actually being in that situation. You would not want to do that.
Yeah.
Imagine being put in that situation. And I liked it. I did like the employees, and then the woman was just like, get to tracking them, you dickhead. It was good.
Yeah, she was the same as the first film, though, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. She pretty much didn't change. It was the same.
No, she was like the only character I don't think that changed at all.
No.
I mean, even she doesn't need changing, to change, really.
But... No, she just has to be this stern woman, because otherwise...
That is her character, isn't it?
She needs to... If she does change, it kind of takes away the threat of that she could just kill him at any moment.
Yeah.
It was nice seeing Peter Capaldi in this.
Yes.
Bit of a creep as the thinker. Apparently having sex with some starfish.
Nice.
He was just sleeping with anything, wasn't he? No. Starfish.
I think, well, sleeping with, I'm guessing he was sleeping with the bodies of the starfish people.
Probably. Yeah, probably. That's what it sounded like anyway.
But he was fun. He was fun. Don't have much else to say about him.
No, I just...
he was just fine. Take he was just there. Yeah. He was just there.
That was the only thing. It was a bit like when they captured him, it was a bit too easy just to get him to do the... get into the building from there.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what
they were like, you're going to do this, and he was like, you won't work, and they just did it, and it worked. And like, without even like a single bit of a hitch, almost.
I thought that he was supposed to be like a good guy. I didn't realise they were supposed to kidnap him. I thought he was going to help them get in.
That's what I thought. Yeah. But then the next scene you saw him with the, say yes with to do guys, whatever needs to be done.
What did you think of Starfish as a villain? Because that was, I thought, that was quite a good villain, to be
fantastic.
Honest.
I thought it was great.
At the end, when he was just like, I was just floating around space.
I know. It just adds to that lunacy. It's like this, and it's not even like a subtle starfish. It's this purple, massive-eyed starfish. And this is like, this is ridiculous fun.
And then when, this is the best thing about being in a cinema, when Harley goes through his eye.
Oh, yeah.
Someone in the cinema went,
at what point did you think, oh, she's going to use it to pierce his eye?
As soon as like I knew that, as soon as I realised the starfish had an eye, that's why I knew what the fucking javelin was for.
Okay. Mine was literally...
Did she keep the javelin?
Did she keep it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, so like, is it going to be her weapon going forward, maybe?
Probably not.
It served its purpose.
It served its purpose, yeah. I literally didn't realise until she said, I know what the javelin's for now.
Really?
Yeah. I was just like, I didn't really think it'd be a plot point that she was trying to figure out.
It's just because every time she was in peril, she always went to the javelin to remember she got the javelin. And I was like, this is going to be used at some point.
Yeah.
And then I saw the eye and I was like, I know where she's going.
Yes, pierce the eye.
I know where she's going.
And I love how she went inside the eye.
That was gross. Yes.
Apparently the guy who played javelin used to be a YouTuber.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's his name's, where is it? Flulaborg?
He's a different DJ now. Apparently he's been in like Pitch Perfect, but he's also used to be a DJ, like when a YouTuber when YouTuber first started up. Like one of the OGs.
Scott's just looking up who he is.
You said Pitch Perfect, so and you know
Scott's got excited.
Holy shit, yeah, fuck. I know who he is.
Let me see him.
It's part of DSM.
Whatever DSM is.
DSM.
Does he have an accent in that as well?
Yeah, he's German.
Oh, okay, nice.
Oh, I love that film. Fucking banging. I have to watch it again now, just so I can see when.
See javelin.
Yeah.
I want each of us to say our best and worst part of the film. Just to cap this off, best and worst part of this film.
Shit.
Adam's already said his best part.
When the shark rips the guy in half.
Okay.
Worst part. Do you know what? I didn't really think I liked anything in the operational room. It was all a bit weird and a bit like.
What anything with the like the Amanda Waller's.
Yeah, I mean, minions. I'm not saying I didn't like the characters. It was just like a bit like, why are we here? Filler. What are you guys doing?
Fair enough. It was all just to lead up to that point where she gets knocked out.
Yeah, obviously
really.
Was, but
and they could do.
Yeah,
what
it's
they
kind
want.
Of like you want to get back to the like probably how you felt when they went to Harlequin and not to the original gang.
I think my best part is Team One.
Really?
I loved that whole Team One segment. I thought it was just so erratic and amazing. Obviously, there's little moments throughout the film that are probably just as good, but because it's all contained in that very small scene where they're all just getting killed, it was amazing. It set the bar for me, and I really enjoyed it. As for the worst thing, it would probably be when Harley was with the president. Up to where she got shot him, and I was like, okay, this makes sense now.
That made me jump as well.
Yeah, I kind of saw it coming. It was almost lingering too long, like you said, for the polka dot man. But I enjoyed the payoff, but leading up to it, I mean, I'll probably like it when I watch it again. But leading up to it, I was like, this is just out of place. I'm not liking this bit.
Fair enough. Favorite bit, I think, is them sneaking up on the missionaries.
Oh yes,
I thought that was brilliant. Very good. Where you see the shark kill someone for the first time. And then
I liked John Cena's pea shooter as well.
And they're shooting the fan into the bath. One of them's having a bath.
So good.
I just thought it was really clever. And obviously the scene after where you find out they're actually on their side.
Yes. They're like, we never saw anyone.
And then you cut to them just surrounded by dead bodies. And she's like, what the fuck? Worst bit, I would have to say, is I think the backstory with Bloodshot and the daughter. I didn't really need it.
Yeah, it was throwaway. Didn't need it.
So
I did get a little bit emotional at the end, though, when she was looking at the screen and she was like, that's my father.
Oh, for fuck's sake. They played you shit.
Like a fiddle.
I was like, oh, that is cute.
I think, yeah, I can agree with that, because only for the fact that it was done in the first film. Like, I liked that they kind of put a spin on it by them being very poisonous towards each other, but then it just turned out being the same thing that she would end up being proud of him. So I didn't really need to be in there.
Agreed.
Fantastic. Does anyone else want to say anything else about this film that they've forgotten?
It's fucking brilliant.
No. Fucking brilliant. Fucking brilliant. That's what we've got to say.
I just want to say that I'm giving it a 7. It's not like a bad film. Just like,
that's okay. Fine. Of course. We've always said that 7 is not a bad. 7 means you've enjoyed something.
Yeah,
it could so easily be
an 8. I don't know why it's kind of not, but
maybe you just need to see it again. It's not.
Yeah,
maybe
settle into it.
But I enjoyed the choreography in this as well. Mm. I thought it was, for the amount of characters there were, the screen time was also divided out quite well.
Mm. Definitely.
And the end scene with obviously Starfish and them all together was, I thought it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
But I don't think the choreography was as good as in Birds of Prey.
I thought you were going to say Power Rangers.
No.
There was a...
But I think choreography-wise, Harley Quinn's bit was the best bit out of the whole film.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant.
I think it's expected from her now.
Yeah. I think this was the best Harley Quinn so far.
Okay.
In film, because I'm a massive fan of Kaylee Cuoco in Harley Quinn, the animation show.
Cuoco plays Harley Quinn?
Yes.
Oh, Adam, you would love brilliant. The TV show. You'd love it. It's like Rick and Morty levels of oddness.
It's brilliant.
And it's so violent.
So good.
It is very
good. But I enjoyed, this is my favourite Harley Quinn so far.
Okay.
And I was just thankful the fucking Joker wasn't in it.
I was waiting for him to turn up.
I'm not a fan of Jared Leto.
I mean, people aren't a fan.
As Joker.
I kind of think he's okay. I appreciate him just for the fact that maybe one day he's going to be Robin. And be the Robin that got turned into the Joker.
But I appreciated the end of Zack Snyder's Justice League. That's the kind of Joker I want, not the one that was in the Suicide Squad.
Fuck boy.
Gangster, rent boy, pimp boy, whatever
rent
he was.
Boy.
Little shit.
Well, that is our rent boy review.
What way to end it?
Of a different film.
You can now go ahead and rent our Patreon episodes.
Right, we have some reviews from our Twitter followers. Right, first we have Sean Panda Nicholson, and he says, I really liked the inventiveness of it, the humour and taking some of the little-known characters and giving them the spotlight. However, it felt really disjointed and I feel like it was overhyped, and I think that expectation ruined my enjoyment. 7 out of 10.
Ooh. Hmm.
Is that a bit like how you felt, Adam?
Yeah. Maybe.
It does sound
Maybe
the same.
You just said it the way...
Do you feel like it was overhyped, though?
Not really. Like, no one went, this is the best film ever, before I went to go see it. Mm. I wasn't expecting levels. Yeah. I know that you two would have loved it.
But I avoided stuff, because I didn't want to... I wanted to go in blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't read reviews or anything like that.
That's the best way, mate. Back row blind.
Exactly. I ain't even opened Empire or Total Film yet. So.
Good boy.
You going to read them tonight, then?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, next up, we have one here from Mr. Positivity, Wolfie T. And they just said, Suicide Squad over The Suicide Squad. I don't know what they were thinking about there.
Yeah, me neither. No, definitely not.
Maybe they're a big fan of the fuckboy Joker.
The rest of the film is awful around it.
I mean, he's awful in it. So.
It's not awful.
It is terrible.
It's not
awful. Adam, what did you give it on Letterboxd?
I gave it probably a 5, but I've only seen it once, and I think I hate him. I just thought, I saw it on the opening day, and I was like, oh, this is bad, and then I didn't really appreciate how bad it was until everyone else was like, okay, no,
now that's the film that was hyped.
Yeah.
maybe, but it was hyped just right because I gave
it literally, the only thing I remember about it is at the very end when they're blowing up a building and the very beginning when Harley Quinn was in a cage.
Oh yes.
And that's literally when he's club, but apart from that,
it is also an Oscar winner, so get over it.
Who? Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
Why?
It got
that costume
makeup.
Oh, for God's
makeup
sake.
And what is the Oscar?
Makeup costume.
Costume and wardrobe and what is it?
Oh, I don't know what it is. Makeup and wardrobe is probably how
makeup,
we say
makeup and design.
Work.
Makeup and wardrobe.
Yeah.
That's just how we say the rooms at work. Not an Oscar category.
It won makeup or wardrobe, whatever the category is.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Either way,
it
doesn't deserve it.
I mean, Killer Croc in that film was very well done, and that was all practical.
Don't give a shit.
Get over
it. Spend the rest of the time making the rest of the film better.
Okay, next one is from Qui-Gon Glynn. Fantastic. James Gunn is an absolute genius. Gore, comedy, action. This movie has everything.
Absolutely.
True.
Well done, Glynn.
This gore was amazing, though. The gore was good.
Yeah.
I appreciate gore.
One thing that this film didn't have that the original one had was a really good soundtrack.
It didn't need it.
But I like the original soundtrack from the first Suicide Squad film.
I think if it had a soundtrack,
Paul,
it would be too much like Guardians.
The sooner you tell yourself that the original film was shit, the better you can be in your life.
Listen, I'm saying this one's better.
Better?
If it had a soundtrack, it would be like Guardians because Guardians is so music central.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it needed a fucking rock song for every bloody scene that it had.
Okay. What if?
Sorry, that was really
get
strong.
Get over it. Fantastic reviews. Thank you, our Twitter followers. We love you. So I guess it's time to place this film. Right. So averaged out, it gives this film an 8.3. Right now, because it doesn't have the final score from Ben, it sits in the 8.3 position with Buster Scruggs, The Blues Brothers, Baccarat, The Raid 1 and 2, Goal, They Live, and Sound of Metal.
It's got better than...
and The Straight Story, sorry. The Straight Story's at the end there as well.
God, it's not better than
fucking Goal.
It'll be... in my personal
Always
opinion...
Always believe in your soul.
It'll be at the top of all those.
Yeah.
But we will not know. It probably won't even be in that position anymore when Ben comes back.
Come on, Ben.
But it's better than all of those, in my opinion. Right, that was a beautiful review of The Suicide Squad. Hope everyone enjoyed that. But this leads us on to another segment. When we have a guest on this show, they get to rate some films, put their rating to some of the films we've done, just so it can adjust the positioning in our overall rankings. So because we forgot to do this last episode, Scott gets to re-rate two of the films
Hasn't
we've
done.
Hasn't
he done it before when he did 13?
Fuck yes.
Yes, but he's got Power Rangers and a Suicide Squad rating.
Oh,
so
every
he can
single
do two.
Time you come on, you get to do it.
Yeah, boy.
Oh.
So
that means I get to change one every single time I come on.
No.
Surely when Ben comes back, he's classed as a guest.
Right, so Scott has the opportunity to put his ratings to two films that we have done previously on the podcast. So Scott, take it away. What films do you want to put your rating to?
So the first one I'm going to put it to is a favourite. Obviously, Adam thinks it's shit, so obviously I love it. And that is Jason X.
Ooh! So just at the moment, just so for context, we have Jason X at 8th bottom, and it's at a 5.3. So how much are you going to elevate this film, Scott? What are you going to give this film?
This film for me is 8 out of 10.
Oh, an 8 out of 10. Okay.
Jason goes to fucking space, people. Goes to fucking space.
Beautiful. So
he smashes a woman's head after crying.
He does.
He's freezing it.
A frozen head he smashes. It will bring this film up to a 6 out of 10. So it brings it out of
yes.
the relegation zone. It's no longer in the bottom 10
yes.
films. How
Brilliant.
Fantastic is that?
I feel fucking fantastic.
What does it put it on par with?
It puts it on par with Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, Captain Marvel, Rise of Skywalker, and Shazam.
Do you know what? It's probably better than the first two that you said.
What? Fallen Kingdom and Captain Marvel?
Yeah, I would say so.
I'd say better than that at all.
You don't like Captain
Even
Marvel?
Even though I rated those films
No one likes
probably
Captain
higher,
Marvel. What are you talking about?
I'd rather rewatch Jason X over them.
I'd say it's worse than all
Did
of those
that?
Films.
Fuck off. Did you hear what Adam's on my side for once.
Yeah, he says it's better than... So, but then you wouldn't be able to get past the bottom ones.
But anyway, we need Ben in to
Ben will sort that out. But well done. You've got out of the relegation zone.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So now your second pick, what would that be?
So that is going to be us.
Uh-oh.
And I gave it a 5 out of 10.
Oh, shit, son!
Because I thought
I'm actually quite happy this one's getting knocked
boring
down
as hell.
It's in an annoying location, us.
Right, at the moment, it is in 9th place. This is in the top 10 films, it's at 9th place.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's so high up.
You're going down.
It's with a 9 out of 10. This is because we've had another guest, Danny, has been on the podcast for. He also gave it a 10 out of 10, like I gave it a 10 out of 10.
A little bit of warfare here.
Yeah, it's been elevated up that
job, and now he's going to steal his freaking...
I know, a fellow colleague, he's smashing it out of his hands. Look at that.
Fucking rule the roost, mate.
Right, so
yes, holy shit,
us's 9th place 9 out of 10 has brought it down to an 8.2,
which is lower than the Suicide Squad.
It's not even in the top 20 anymore. Okay,
my work is done.
And it's in contention with one film, and that's Holy Motors.
Oh, come on,
it's better than Holy Motors.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's not.
I'm with you, Adam.
Yeah, and Scott,
have you seen Holy Motors?
Yeah.
Well, we will place that with Ben when he returns. That'd be an exciting one.
There's no point. You might as well do it now. We both know exactly what Ben is going to say.
It's true. He's going to put it below Holy Motors.
Yes.
So that actually puts it in, if it's below Holy Motors, in 28th place.
Shit,
from 9 to 28.
I feel like my work is done.
Wow.
Thanks, guys.
Big jump.
It's terrible. I just didn't enjoy it at all. I thought it was just... so boring.
That's fair enough, Scott. Stop shouting at me.
I can't help it. I'm not shouting. You were right in front of me.
Fantastic. Thank you, Scott, for your rating.
You are welcome.
Right, that leads us on to our patrons and what they have to say. What they say they have been watching this week. Right, so firstly, we have Jamie Russell, and he says, I would recommend both Lake Mungo and Guns Akimbo. Lake Mungo is a supernatural horror that cleverly utilises its mockumentary found footage approach throughout. It is a relatively slow burner, but is definitely worth sticking with, and has a sequence that might possibly be in my top 10 creepy horror moments of all time. Big shout, Jamie. Guns Akimbo is just a blast of a film. It does have some interesting commentary on gaming addiction, internet trolling, but it's ultimately just a lot of fun and breezes past you in 90 or so minutes. I have Lake Mungo on my list.
Lake Mungo is on my list as well.
Oh,
I've never heard of Lake Mungo, but I've heard of Guns Akimbo and I can't remember.
It's Daniel Radcliffe.
It's all over Amazon at the minute. That's why it's at the top.
It's about some guy who's... he's basically got like guns nailed or something to his hands or some contraption, so he can't actually remove the guns from his hands. And that's all I know.
It's like a stupider version of Edward Scissorhands, right?
But Lake Mungo, I've heard it's pretty creepy. And that is very much perked my interest, saying top 10 creepy horror moments of all time.
And as a horror nut myself.
Yes.
When was Lake Mungo released?
Lake Mungo was released in 2008. It was a while ago.
Okay.
Interesting. Thanks, Jamie.
Next up, we have Julio. He says, I'm catching back up on documentaries again. Did you guys hear of the college admission scandal over there? Over where? Over here? Is it in America,
UK?
I take it?
Yes, he's in Texas.
I don't know. Was there this thing?
Yeah. It was some actors that have paid to get their kids in.
Isn't he saying that it's happened in the US, but he's saying, did you hear about it? Did it cross the ocean and
in the news?
I'll get you, Julio. Sorry about that. That's my fault, not your fault.
It is your fault.
Sorry. He goes on to say, Operation Varsity Blues is the most recent movie from one of my favourite documentarians, Chris Smith. And it was a lot of fun to watch him untangle the behind the scenes of a bit of corruption. He also says, I finally watched The Social Dilemma, which everyone was talking about when it first came out. Pretty interesting and convincing in making the case that even if you didn't feel social media was affecting you, it's slowly doing its job in a way that ends up being detrimental to the world. Horrendous reenactments, though. I completely agree about his Social Dilemma.
I know you watched that a while ago. It's a
very interesting documentary with people who are in all the businesses. Like the people some of the people who founded Google and Twitter and all of them lot, like slagging it off and working out how the machines behind the thing work. But they have terrible, terrible reenactments about some of the scenes and how it can affect you in real life.
What do you mean terrible?
Yeah.
So, like, they have this whole... So, they have these interviews happening, and then throughout the film, entangled in it all, is like a film, and it's about this brother and sister and how... Like, how addicted they are to their phones and how it's affecting them in their daily lives and how they're getting swept up into all, like, this fake news. And, like, he ends up at, like, a protest once because he read something online. That's all I remember. Then he ends up getting beaten up. And then she comes to help him and gets end up getting thrown in jail, I think. And it's just terrible acting. It's just cheap done. It's like, do you know when you watch health and safety videos?
Yeah. It's like that.
It feels like that kind of shit.
I didn't know whether it was horrendous as in, like...
Oh, no, it's horrendous.
Scary or no, just bad.
It's bad. I mean, I thought it was bad acting. Julio might find it apparently scary. So,
Fair dues. And how about this college admissions scandal? I've never heard of it. What did you say?
I know what it. What is it?
What is it?
So I think there's some actors that have paid for their, given money to the college to get their kid in.
Oh, okay.
And stuff like that, like Felicity Huffman. She's one of them.
All right.
Laurel or Laurie, someone from 90210, she went to prison.
Ooh. Actually, I have a recollection of that now.
Yeah.
Now you say that.
Wait, people went to prison because of it?
Yeah. Because it's all like money laundering or like fraud and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be done on like merit, isn't it?
Yeah.
How well your child done to get into the college.
But not giving the college money for that.
The whole object of private education.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
These actors think they can do what they want.
These actors... Well, thank you, Julio. Very good. I'm going to check both of those out.
Okay, next up we have Katie and Oti. We watched the first two episodes of Reservation Dogs, which follows a young group of Native American kids navigating day-to-day life. It offers endearing characters, hilarious scenes, and some deep, tangible themes that I cannot wait to see how it will be explored. Strong recommend.
That does never sound interesting. Heard of it. I've never heard of it. I have seen some pictures online. And it does tickle my fancy.
Do you know why I struggle so much? Because it says Reservation Dogs.
I know.
And I want to say Reservoir Dogs. Fuck's sake.
I think they should be sued, to be honest.
You go and sue those Native Americans, Adam. Go on. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You monster.
See where that gets you.
Like, you came too close to a film that I care a little bit about.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Great. I'll have a look for that. Fantastic. Thank you, patrons. If you want to become a patron, you can go to www.patreon.com/filmbusters. You can suggest stuff to us and you can get exclusive episodes like the one we're going to do after this episode, which is going to be about our Suicide Squad film team that we're going to build somehow. And yes, and get loads of other exclusive content and get some recommendations to us as well of what films you want us to review. But without further ado, let's move on to the last thing, which is telling the viewers what we're going to be talking about next week. Go on, Adam.
So I don't know if you remember, this happened about 6 years ago, but we were going to start recording with Jamie Russell. He picked us a film to watch with Ben, and that film was Vanishing, and fingers crossed it's actually going to happen this time.
Well, hey,
the next
thing that released, it should be a film called Vanishing with our patron Jamie Russell. Ben will be back. We're putting Scott back in his little cupboard until next time we need him.
Thanks.
Cupboard. Put you back in the closet.
I've got some.
Put you back in the
closet. Put me back in the closet. Yeah, is that what you're trying to say?
We'll bring him out every so often and play
with
him.
Studios
just
to run
happy.
Anyway. So fuck off.
But yes, I just want to say thank you so much, Scott. It's been wonderful having you here on these past two episodes.
Oh yeah.
You've been backing me up on my ratings. We've both been in the same mind. You could say we both had a starro mind.
We are. You both gave the film both films the same ratings, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something it, in the water it, over is. There.
But thank you. It's been wonderful having you here.
You're welcome.
Scott.
You are welcome.
Until next time. Until
next
on,
time.
That'd be wonderful.
Till Ben goes on holiday again.
Yeah, till he goes on holiday again. Or one of us goes on holiday. Who knows?
Or we all go on holiday.
Oh, wonderful. And then you could just do it on your own, Scott.
Great. Because that's what people want to hear.
But yes, thanks everyone for listening. And if you want to get some more content, you can go over and listen to us on Patreon now. We're about to go record that. But then, if you don't want to, which I don't know why you wouldn't, we'll just see you next time on The Vanishing. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Filmbusters.
Very good, Adam. Filmbusters.